Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm Robin Young, coming to you this week from San Diego, home to a world-famous zoo, SeaWorld, and the tech giant Qualcomm. Yesterday, we made a field trip to the gleaming, sprawling home base of this company that makes mobile chips. Almost every 3G and 4G connected phone has Qualcomm technology, but so do cars, medical devices, wearables. Inside, there's a little museum where you can see how 30 years ago, an MIT professor named Irwin Jacobs bet on an old radio technology, CDMA, to carry out a relatively new idea that everything on the Internet would be available on newfangled wireless phones at several times the speed of dial-up modems.
Transforming and changing the world. That's what we've been doing.
There are hilarious displays of the first cell phones, big as bread boxes, and the original white van and video in which Qualcomm executives sat shoulder to shoulder inside the car and gave their first demonstration. Oh, my gosh. You see the picture of the van tooling along, and then all these guys in shirts and ties and 80s hair inside it talking on their phone.
John Scott, and I'm with Paxos Cellular in Los Angeles.
In addition to chips, Qualcomm has a second arm, Qualcomm Technical Licensing, and displayed across a huge wall the many patents they've produced on their own and by investing in startups.
Hey, how are you? Nice to
meet you.
Paul Jacobs, Irwin's son, is now executive chair of Qualcomm. We sat down to get his view from the top of the mobile chip industry. Yesterday, we reported on the program that the chipmaker Intel is going to buy its competitor Altera because Altera is more in the mobile chip business. What does Qualcomm do when news like that breaks?
So the Intel-Altera deal is really one we see as them trying to fill their fabs.
Trying to what?
Fill their fabs. They have very big manufacturing plants called fabs where they actually make the chips. And so they need to make sure that they have enough product because the cost of these manufacturing plants are very, very high. Qualcomm doesn't have that. We create the designs here, but then they're manufactured by other people for us. What we typically do is buy companies that have great technology that we want to then fold into the chip that goes in your cell phone. We're in the process of buying a company called CSR that does a lot of the connectivity between all these wearable devices and the Internet of Things that will be in the world around us. And so we're thinking about what technologies do we need for our future products that will make people really excited about their future smartphones. And so we watch those things, but we're the largest fabless company, meaning that we're the largest company that designs chips but doesn't own its own manufacturing. We're the largest producer of wireless chipsets. So we watch what's going on around us, but we're really focused on our vision of what's ahead.
What are you thinking is the next intersection of something and something that you want to be prepared for?
Yeah, so our vision that we're looking on, working on right now is called Digital Sixth Sense, where this idea that the phone isn't just the place where you live your life, but you live your life in the real world too. So you have this cyberspace version of you and this real world version of you, and even the world itself, places that you are, have things to do with them, whether it's the air conditioning and heating systems in your home. There might be content associated with places that you go. There might be services that you can have. We want to use the phone to merge those things.
Give me an example.
Well, a really good example that we just did with BMW was this idea that I'm driving in my car and I want to park. And I look back and it's hard to see where the curb is when I'm parallel parking. So we did a set of glasses that allow you to have superpower. You can see through the car to the curb, and you see where you're parking.
Get out of town.
Seriously. You're looking through glasses, and it uses the cameras on the outside of the car to see, and then it projects that on the glasses and lines it up with the real world, so it looks like you're looking through the door of the car.
Do I hear that you anticipate that humans will be their own smartphone?
Well, I think that there are going to be a lot of technologies that are either on our bodies or in our bodies, and so one of the things that we're working very hard on is healthcare and using mobile technology to close the loop so you really can monitor yourself continuously. Because right now we think of being well or sick, but obviously there's a progression going from wellness to sickness, and can you actually detect that? And if you can detect that, can you take early actions to make yourself well? And this idea that we are connected at all times and that there are these devices, sensors, and so forth that are monitoring our health and watching to see small changes in any number of indicators that could tell that our health is changing.
I finally succumbed to a Fitbit. Is that what you're talking about, something as simple as a Fitbit, or the chip, whatever is in that Fitbit, not just being on a band on my wrist, but being in me?
I'm talking about things that are far beyond that. So, for example, you can start to see whether you're having a cancer start to grow aggressively in your body. Certain things start floating in your blood. It's called cell-free DNA. So the question is, can you detect that? Before you could even image the cancer, could you detect that something's starting to happen? So I'm invested in a company that's actually building this test. So I went and had them take a sample of my blood and run it through the system. And I know I don't have this DNA floating in my blood, which comes from cancer. So I believe I don't have aggressive cancer in my body.
So you believe in that. But we're told that even the tests that they have now for things like ovarian cancer, the blood tests, are not reliable. So if you've really got a company that really does have that, that's amazing.
Well, so they're going through the FDA trials right now, and they'll be able to say that much more definitively as soon as the FDA agrees that what they say is true. It's like the science fiction writer said, the future's already here. It's just unevenly distributed. So you got to find the places where the future is and see whether you can push them harder and make that future come around faster.
And we looked at your patent wall downstairs. Part of what you do is encourage innovation. But who should own this future? If it's about health, you know, should it be a company like Qualcomm? Should it be the government? Should anybody?
Well, the key thing that patents do is that they allow you to invest in innovation and then get some benefit for it.
Because who's going to invest unless they know they have ownership?
Of course. I mean, if you think about Qualcomm as a very young company, we were a company that had a handful of really, really important patents. But we were up against some very large companies that were the incumbents in the industry. And those companies, if they could have just stolen our ideas and implemented themselves, they would have been there and we would be gone. And so you really want to make sure that you protect those innovators, and you want to make sure that companies which have invested in the past in R&D but then decided, well, we don't know where to go, so they slim down their R&D and they just try and collect innovations from other people, that they aren't able to just pull in other people's ideas and use them for free, because some of those ideas cost a lot. We spent $5 billion on research and development last year.
But are we edging into a world where maybe only half the population at best will be able to know whether they have cancer oncoming because Fitbits and whatever the equivalent is going to be, they're expensive? You're nodding.
No, I think the key for us is to drive the cost down dramatically. So this idea of finding out whether you have cancer, there's a company in San Diego that's trying to make that as cheap as possible, like the cost of doing a glucose test for a diabetic.
Here you are in what's being called Wireless Valley, but it's not Silicon Valley. Do you worry that you can't attract the people that maybe Northern California can to do the work you want?
So we have a big presence in Silicon Valley also. When we see this convergence coming of mobile health, we feel like San Diego is a great place for it. And when you look a little bit up in Silicon Valley, and I do worry that the app economy mindset has taken hold and people are so focused on how quickly can they make something with as little investment as possible, you get a little bit of a short-term viewpoint.
What are you looking for in somebody that you're hiring?
The thing that I love the most in people is passion. The other thing is the ability to work with a lot of people, because the thing that, in my mind, that drives innovation also is diversity.
Harder question maybe, how do you fire someone? You can't help but notice in the local papers, there's a story of a former executive who was going to jail for insider trading. He got some information from a supervisor, he figured out what it meant, he invested in the company, he told another friend. That's got to be so tempting for employees. How do you set that standard? Again, you're nodding like you've thought of this.
We think about these issues a lot. I think it went all the way back to Irwin, who started the company, setting a very, very high standard. There's a story in the early days, there was a negotiation, and one of the people who was on the other side of the negotiation sent us accidentally a fax with some internal negotiating points. And one of the guys runs into Irwin's office and says, "Hey, look, I got this fax." And Irwin said, "Was that for you?" "No." "Then send it back and don't even look at it."